At this congregation, we want to be ready. We want to be positioned in a good way to handle things like health issues. Up to this point, if you've been here on a Wednesday or a Sunday when we had a medical emergency, it's been, let's fly by the seat of our pants. Let's figure it out based on what's happened and what we have as far as available resources. Well, that kind of approach is probably not the way that is consistent with what Paul said to the Corinthians, to do things decently and orderly. So a little later, just before we end services today, we do want to introduce a medical emergency plan. By that we mean that if someone here during a time of worship gets sick, if someone is hurt, if someone collapses or there is something similar that happens, we want to have some steps, we want to have some procedures in place laid out in a public way, and then make sure that we follow those procedures. Sometimes in the workplace and even in the home, it's possible to engage in an approach which says, well, this is what we say, or this is what we want to do, and then we just forget it. Well, that's not what we want to do here. We want to make sure that we explain the procedures, and then, Lord willing, if that ever happens, make sure that they are followed in a good way. When we think about preparedness, and Brian has led some songs this morning about readiness, there are some things that we need to be prepared for in the Bible. And as we look at the idea of preparation, as we look at the idea of readiness, we find a number of passages which talk about being ready for various things. One of the first things that we read about in the Scriptures as far as being ready or prepared involves the end of time. As we go through our daily lives, we've all got a lot going on day after day, week after month, year after year. And as we go through our lives, it's very easy, it's very tempting to fall into the trap that we think that we're always going to have another day. As we gather here this morning, I suspect that at least some of us, maybe most, if not all of us, have made some plans for the rest of our day. Maybe we've got some lunch plans. After we finish, we're going to eat in our mind at this particular place, or we're going to go home because we've got a roast in the oven, something like that. And not only have we perhaps planned out today, maybe we've planned out tomorrow. This is going to be my work schedule. This is my project for tomorrow. This is the test that I'm going to take in school. These are the things that I'm going to work on around the house. Maybe we've got the whole week planned out. Maybe even at this point, it's still fairly early in the year, maybe we've got 2015 vacation plans laid. Maybe if we're a mom or dad, we've got the week planned out for our kids. Or if we're out in the secular work world, we've got our job plans scheduled for the week. And again, maybe some work plans around the house. We may feel like we are so well prepared for so many things, but the one thing, the most important thing that we may not be prepared for is the most important event of all. God's Word tells us that today's lunch may not come for us. All the plans that we may have laid for tomorrow may not happen. We might have taken our last vacation. 2014 may have been it. The Lord could return tomorrow, if not sooner. Because we don't know when the Lord is going to come back, the Bible says in places like Matthew chapter 24, be ready. Be prepared. We don't know the day. We don't know the hour. We don't know the year. So Jesus simply says, be prepared. It could be night. It could be day. It could be in the morning. But Jesus says, whenever that is, in our lifetime or not, be ready. Be prepared. If it's right to be prepared for health emergencies, is it also not right? Is it also not proper to be prepared for the end of time? If the Lord were to come today, before we talk about our medical emergency plan, would our heart be right? Would our life be right? Would we be ready? Now, Jesus, towards the end of Matthew chapter 24, beginning with verse 44, affirmed that when he returns, it's going to be a time of surprise. And he said in the closing verses of Matthew chapter 24 that wise people, smart people, will be ready. And do you know in the final verses of Matthew 24, verses 48 through 51, the Lord says concerning the people who are not prepared, that they're not just unwise. They've not just made a bad choice. But the Lord, as he talks about in the final verses of that 24th chapter, says the people who are not prepared for his next and final coming will be evil people. Now that seems like a strong word. We simply today would say, well, you're not prepared. You should have been prepared. But very rarely would we say a person who is unprepared is evil. But you know, that's how Jesus describes the lack of preparation when it comes to his next and final coming. If today we sit in the pews, we are at this building, and we're not prepared to meet Jesus at the end of time, what's lacking in our life? I know that there are some people who think, well, that's just too hard. That's just too difficult for me. If you understood my life, if you knew the things that I'm facing, if you knew the temptations before me, then you'd understand it's just too hard. Well, the Bible teaches in the next chapter, Matthew chapter 25, I'm going to read verse 10 in just a moment. Yet the scriptures teach that it is possible for us to be prepared for Jesus' next and final coming. They may remember in this section of Matthew 25, the Lord is talking about 10 ladies who are described as virgins. 5 were wise and prepared, 5 were not. In that 10th verse, he says, "And while they went away to buy," those would be the 5 foolish virgins, "the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut." Notice from the middle of that verse, they were ready. 3 key words. Is it possible to be ready for the Lord when he returns at the end of time? Matthew 25 verse 10 says yes. Among the ways that we can be ready, I would include in that as far as someone who's looking at their life and says, well, I want to be ready. What kinds of things should be in place? What kinds of things should I be doing? Well, one of the things that we might first think about or consider is worship. If you were to leave, and this ties in with what Ray was saying earlier, when we were preparing to observe the Lord's Supper, if you were to turn across the page in Matthew chapter 26, verse 17, you would there again find the word ready. The apostles, the disciples of Christ, were making ready for the Passover. We may not think about it too often, but you know, it's possible. And we would even affirm that it's right to make ready ourselves to honor and worship God. Over the years, Teresa and I have spent some enjoyable Saturday nights with fellow Christians. But as I look back over those times, as I look back over those occasions, there's something that springs to my mind time and time again. A lot of those Saturday night gatherings were cut a bit short. We can remember sometimes it was us, but sometimes there were Christians who had further to drive. Maybe it was our house. And they said, we'd like to stay. We're having a good time. We would like to continue this Saturday night event, but tomorrow is worship. And we need to be ready. We need to be prepared for Sunday morning. So even though we don't want to leave just yet, we need to be prepared for Sunday. So we must go. And not only has that been on Saturday night, but sometimes that's on Sunday afternoon. We're having a good time. We're enjoying this activity, but we've got to cut it short. We've got to leave now. Why? Because we want to reassemble Sunday evening, and we need to make sure that we are ready for that next assembly. When it comes time to look at our lives and to see whether or not we're really ready to meet the Lord at the end of time, do we give consideration to worship? Do we consider that we also try to make sure that we are ready? I didn't put it in my outline, but I'm going to mention it. As a young preacher, one of the things that really surprised me, I'd been preaching probably 2 years. And there was a man who is now deceased, but he had some health issues. He had some serious health issues. One day, as I was over visiting with him, he made it clear that it took him a while to get ready. He got up about 4 o'clock Sunday morning, not because he wanted to watch the news or enjoy his coffee or anything else, but he moved so slowly, movement was so difficult, that he needed to make preparations, personal preparations, from about 4 a.m. to 8:30 a.m. to be ready for worship. Now, as a young Christian and certainly a young preacher, that surprised me. I thought 4.5 hours to get ready to worship God. How many Christians would have that commitment? For some, just getting out of bed, throwing on some clothes, and running a comb through the hair, that is a lot in their mind to do. But we should be ready to assemble. When we think about readiness in assemblies, the Jewish people had a practice which I think is practical for us. It's mentioned in places like Mark chapter 15, verse 42. Here you read about the preparation day. Or in some translations, it might describe it as the day before the Sabbath. One of the greatest lessons, if we're a parent, if we're a grandparent, one of the most wonderful lessons we can teach our kids is to consider and to get in the practice of making ready for worship. Because that's something a lot of people don't do. Kids are taken out on Saturday night. They're kept out late and no thought or no preparation is given for Sunday. And kids are taught, well, that Saturday night activity took the place of what would have taken place on Sunday. And that also is sometimes true for other weekly assemblies. Other times people come to Sunday morning. They kind of get up and they think, well, we're not really ready. We're not really prepared. We've not given any forethought to this. Let's just try to wing it and see how it goes. When it comes to God, when it comes to spiritual things, is He, is His church not important enough to be ready, to be prepared for? If we're not in the habit of trying to ready ourselves or trying to prepare ourselves to come and honor God on a regular basis, can we not do better? Are there not some things in our lives and our schedules that can be adjusted in such a way so we are truly prepared to come before Him? how wonderful it is to be a Christian who not only assembles with God's people and worships with God's people, but we come in such a way where we are ready. As a Christian, there are several things that we want to be ready for. We not only have worship, but the book of Acts, as we turn over there, Acts chapter 21, we find something else which involves our readiness. In Acts chapter 21, we read about some people, one of whom is the Apostle Paul. Another of the people that we read about in Acts chapter 21 is a first century prophet by the name of Agabus. Now, Agabus was someone who took part of Paul's clothing. The garment in the ESV is described as the girdle. And with that piece of clothing, he binds his hands and he binds his feet. Well, he did that to symbolize something. He did that to say that there was going to be a negative thing or two that happened to the Apostle Paul. Agabus said to Paul, if you go down to the city of Jerusalem, let me tell you what's going to happen. You are going to be bound. You're going to be, we might say, handcuffed. And he said, too, you're going to be turned over to the Gentiles. The Jews are not going to be happy with you, so they're going to do some bad things to you. Now imagine that there were a prophet in our day and time who made that same kind of prediction. If you're going to follow God's will, you're going to be bound hand and foot. You're going to be turned over to some people who are not going to be kind to you. I suspect that if people were told that by a true prophet of God, they would at least be a little uncomfortable, maybe even terrified. When the fellow Christians heard what was promised concerning Paul, they did not stay silent. If you've turned over to Acts chapter 21, let's start with verse 11 and read down through verse 12. Verse 11 says, "And coming to us and taking Paul's girdle, he bound his own feet in his hands and said, Thus saith the Holy Spirit, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owns this and shall deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles. And when they heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem." Now, it's not difficult to grasp what is being described by Luke. These Christians didn't want him to go. They didn't want him to suffer. They didn't want him to experience these things. Paul, do not go to Jerusalem. Don't let these things happen to you. You know that Paul said he was not deterred? Paul said, I'm going to go. Multiple pleas were made for the Apostle Paul not to go to the city, but Paul said this, same chapter, but now verse 13. Then Paul answered, What do ye, weeping and breaking my heart? He says, and here's our word ready. I am ready, not only to be bound, if they want to cuff my hands, if they want to tie up my feet, Paul says, I'm ready for that to happen. But Paul also says, I'm ready to die. If it means that my life needs to be surrendered, given up, for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said, I'm willing to do that. Paul says, whatever God's will requires, I am ready to do that very thing. As we think about the readiness in Acts chapter 21, would we say that our readiness is like that? If the government in this country were to say, surrender your faith, give up your faith, renounce your faith, or go to prison, we'd say, well, I'm ready to do what? I'm ready to succumb to your desire, or I'm ready to go and be locked up. If we were asked, are you ready to die for your faith? Or are you ready to renounce your faith? Would we have to sit back and say, well, let me think about it. Let me call the preacher. Let me get a hold of the elders. Or would we say, I'm ready. I've made the decision. I'm committed. You see, when we think about doing God's will, when we think about living the Christian life, readiness, preparation is to be an ongoing state. It's not something that we just kind of think about, well, today I'm not really ready, so I'm going to pass on this or that. No. When we look at the scriptures, the picture is to be ready, to be obedient at all times. You know, when I think about Christians in readiness, non-Christians also come to my mind. Do you know that the Bible teaches that non-Christians, it specifically says, that non-Christians are often ready to engage in their evil deeds? The unsaved are frequently prepared to do the bad things the Bible associates with the non-Christian way of life. You can find this two chapters later in Acts chapter 23. In Acts chapter 23, you have some information about Paul's opponents. There were some Jews who wanted to kill him. And the Bible says in Acts 23 verse 15 that they were ready. They were prepared to take the apostle's life. So when we look at the people who are not trying to live for Christ, they are prepared, they're ready, they're not going to hesitate in many cases to carry out their evil deeds. If the unrighteous are almost ready to live the non-Christian way of life and do the things the Bible associates with sinful behavior, can we as a Christian be any less ready, any less prepared to live the Christian life? If we have named the name of Christ, if we become a child of God, then we should at all times, in all places, stand ready to be a Christian. That's the picture that we get from the Scriptures. The Apostle Paul, Romans 1 verse 15, in the first chapter of that book, he says, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you. As we go through our lives, workplace, neighborhood, do we also try to be ready to present God's message to people through personal study? It may be that we keep some tracts in the purse or maybe in the glove compartment of our vehicle. We keep some CDs stashed in there so we can be ready to teach. How sad to live in a time, which we do, and have all the tools necessary to teach people, but not be prepared to use them when an opportunity arises. How sad for a congregation to be prepared to deal with a medical emergency and not help souls be rescued from hell. Will we be ready to help the physical part of man which is going to perish, but not be prepared to help people with the eternal part of their being, which is everlasting? As Paul thought about readiness, he talked to another preacher about it, Titus. In the book of Titus, chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says that we are to be ready. We are to be prepared, and then Paul explained what the readiness was about. He says, I want you as a Christian to be ready for every good work. Well, that's pretty simple, but that's also pretty powerful. Paul said, if you want to name the name of Christ, if you want to live the Christian life, then you stand prepared for every good work. Imagine what congregations throughout the world would be like if Titus 3:1 were followed. If Christians were truly ready for every good work. And that good work would include being ready to give a defense for the faith. Peter said, be ready for that as well. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15. I suggest that if Titus 3, verse 1 were followed, congregations by and large would be a lot different throughout the world than they are now. Then as we think about the word ready, we find something else that's instructive for us. Peter picked up this topic in his book, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5, it's a very interesting passage. If you've never looked at it, maybe from this standpoint that we're looking at today, it might give you something new to consider. But Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 5, the Lord has been ready to judge the world for more than 2,000 years. The passage was written about 2,000 years ago, and Peter at that time says, Jesus is standing ready to judge the world. Well, the Lord's not the only one who's ready. He says to his people, I also want you to be ready, ready for good works, ready to give a defense, ready for worship, all the things, ready for his next and final return. And then as we think about passages which use this word and express some interesting concepts, we have one more. And this one is found in the final book of the Bible, Revelation chapter 19, Revelation 19 verse 7. Now, here again, you kind of have to follow John's thought a little bit, but it is an instructive, it is an insightful verse. John in Revelation 19 verse 7 compares the church, us, the people who are to be ready to a bride. Now we know, I think, to some degree, whether a man or a woman married or not, that a bride wants to be ready for her wedding day. But imagine this situation. Here's a bride, the day has come for a wedding, and she concludes in her day as far as preparations, she doesn't need to shower, she doesn't need to take a bath, she took one of those a couple days ago, so it's fine. And she's decided, as far as getting ready for her big day, that nothing special, nothing unique or distinctive needs to be done with her hair. She's chomped on her fingernails so they look pretty ragged, but she feels ready. And her wedding dress is bunched up in a bag that was used a couple weeks ago to collect leaves and sticks, but that was a convenient place to store it. And she can't find the earrings that she wanted to wear on that day, so she thinks, well, I'll just take one. And the music starts, and here comes the bride, sashing down the aisle with the leaves and twigs in her hair and on her dress and that one big earring dangling, and she smells bad. Now, unless the groom is blind, unless the groom has lost his sense of smell, he's probably headed out the side door, is he not? Here's a woman who is not ready to meet her husband. The bride is a disaster on the day where she should be as prepared as she's ever been. I firmly believe there are some Christians who are just like that unprepared bride. They, if we were to look at their Christian life, they are like that foul-smelling bride. They have, because of their spiritual choices, Titus 3 verse 1, they're not ready for every good work. They look ugly, and they are a horribly dressed bride. when the Lord returns at the end of time, "Oh, Jesus, here I am, I'm your bride." Would not the Lord be able to look at such a person and say, "You make me want to vomit. You're not my bride. You're not prepared. You didn't take the time to become ready." If today God compared our Christian life to a bride on a wedding day, what would the verdict be? What would His assessment be? Would He say, "Oh, I know you're not perfect. We all are guilty of sin. But you are ready. You have done your very best to prepare yourself for my return. Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Or would God say to us, "I'm looking at you. I know that you're claiming to be part of my bride, but you are a shame to the name you have chosen to bear and wear. You're a bride, but you're a bride for the devil, not me. You are someone who did not keep your garments right." Are we ready, not only for medical emergencies, but for Jesus' next and final coming? Are we prepared by the life that we're living? Let's answer that question as we stand and sing the selection.